This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. I don't know if you guys have heard about this yet, but the Olympics kick off on Friday. Now, we all know the games are about competition, athletic achievement, adversity overcome, life goals attained. But it's also about whether you'll capture enough attention to turn gold medals into gold coin, or at least enough coin to defray the upfront costs of all that effort. Last month, I visited the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. It's a sprawling 150-acre campus just north of the Mexico border, with facilities for BMX biking, archery, field hockey, rowing, and track and field. Including, of course, the high jump, where Jamie Nieto was practicing with the bar set at 6 feet 9 inches. It was the week before he headed to Oregon for the Olympic track and field trials. We sat down with him trackside to talk about what kind of financial sacrifices he's had to make as an Olympic hopeful. Jamie Nieto, thanks for meeting us out here at the track.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us how long you've been having this Olympic dream of yours.
Oh, it's been at least 8 years now. The last time I made the Olympics was in 2004. And I just missed out on the Olympic team in 2008, and so missing out kind of made my dream even more prevalent and wanting to achieve it, you know. So, this year is going to be a great year, especially when I, and if I achieve it, God willing.
How does an amateur athlete support himself when you are going for the gold?
That's the biggest misconception amongst the public. Track and field athletes are not amateurs anymore. We haven't been amateurs since 1980s, probably, or 70. I'm not really even sure. We make money. It's just depending on how much money we make. It all depends on sponsorship. It depends on your ranking. It depends on how well you're doing that year. You know, if you're winning a lot of meets, you have the potential to make a lot of money. But if not, then not, you know. So most people have jobs. If they're, you know, lucky enough to have sponsorships, then, you know, that kind of supplements their income. This year I work two coaching jobs, you know, and I'm also an actor, so I do little side things here and there.
How does the whole sponsorship element of all this come in? I mean, do you have to be at a certain level? The fact that you got fourth back in 2004, did that do something for you?
Yeah, I was sponsored in 2003 to 2008 by Nike, and they gave me a very, very small annual stipend. And
what's small?
I guess I'm not sponsored by them anymore, so it really doesn't matter. $15,000 for the year, which is not to down Nike in any way, because I thought they helped me as best as they could. But I think it's almost a slap in the face, because if you think about it, the average American makes $36,000 a year. So I'm making poverty level money, and I'm a professional athlete representing the United States. But, you know, speaking more on the whole amateur thing, they don't even pay you to go to the Olympic Games. We go to the Olympic Games for free. It's another slap in the face. You know, there is the USOC who does pay us if we place in the top three. First place, I believe, is 50,000. Second is 20, and third is 10. You know, I think if you asked John Elway to go to the Super Bowl and we're not going to pay you, I think he'd be pretty upset. We could ask Derek Jeter to go to the World Series, and won't you just do it for free? Do it for the love and the honor of your country. Dwayne Wade came up with a comment the other day saying, I think NBA Olympians should be paid. And then he retracted the statement and said, I think all Olympians should be paid. I agree. I totally agree. All Olympians should be paid. And the Olympics are the most widely watched sport in the world during Olympic time, you know, especially track and field. So why wouldn't we be able to profit some from that? I don't see why not.
What does it cost you to pursue your dream of going to the Olympics?
Blood, sweat, and tears. And it also cost me money to live, because I got to supplement my income somehow to pay my mortgage for the year and to be able to eat, and paying for tennis shoes and training gear. Since I train here, I'm very fortunate, so I'm not incurring a cost here. But traveling, maybe $3,000, $5,000, something like that, you know, nothing too bad, you know, but that's compounded on towards the mortgage and the food and whatever else I'm spending money on to continue to train and compete.
What kind of financial sacrifice do you make to be an Olympic hopeful?
Well, the financial sacrifice that I make is I live pretty cheaply. I don't splurge on anything. I don't do a lot of clothes shopping, you know, try to make my meals or eat here, or I try to live as cheap as possible so I can save my money so I can be able to afford to do this. So it's tough, but it's a sacrifice. I mean, with everything that you want to do in life, I think, you know, you got to have a sacrifice in one way or another, you know, to be the best at it. So a financial sacrifice. This is only a small portion of my life that I'm actually going to be doing this. You know, I probably will compete the rest of this year, maybe next year, if I'm able to afford it, you know. But I was actually planning on retiring this year.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
35.
Mm-hmm. You know, I probably have a couple more years in me to compete if I would like, but I would like to have a consistent check. you know, it's not all about the money, but at some point it's like, glory and the honor of competing at the Olympic Games, that doesn't feed my family, or, you know, that doesn't pay my mortgage, you know. So at some point it's like you need to get a real job to kind of do that, even though I'm not really going to get a real job. I plan to be an actor, you know. I will probably coach for a little while until acting really takes off for me, but I've been fortunate, like I said, to have been able to find another passion, but not everybody finds that. And you find athletes lingering into the sport well past the time that they should be gone.
What's the most you've ever made in a year?
Probably around 100,000.
Really?
Yeah, but that's 1 or 2 years,
right?
Not these last couple of years.
Well, and it's not something that you can count on from year to year. You don't know what you're going to make from year to year.
Exactly. And what I was going to say is, there's two different levels to this. You know, you can be in that top tier. You win the Olympics. You win a lot of meets and stuff like that. You can make $1 million. I can make $1 million in a year. The likelihood of that happening is really tough. The chances of that is real. I mean, we're talking about the best competition in the world. So it's not very easy to do that, but it's possible. It is definitely possible, yeah.
All right. Jamie, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
So, how'd he do at the trials? Well, at the ripe age of 35, he became the oldest man to qualify for the Olympic high jump team, clearing 7 feet, 5 3/4 inches. First place. So keep an eye out for him when the track and field events begin on August 3rd.